Welcome to the podcast. My name is Joey Little. Almost forgot that there for a second. You think about other things, man, and it just our brains. I don't know if yours works like mine does. Chances are, maybe a few of you do. But man, so many things going on, and it's just like whatever just falls out, right? There's no filter there for me. A lot of people say that to be, you know, funny, like, oh, let me filter. I say whatever I want to say. Mine just means that just dumb shit comes out of my mouth quite a bit. Like, it used to be real bad. Like, it used to just dumb shit. Just, you know, you got all these ideas that are up in your head and they're bouncing around, and maybe, you know, something's going on in front of you and you're around a couple people. I'm the one that says the dumb shit, right? And I've been given a lot of crap about that too back in the day. But thanks to the medication, it's under control a little bit. And you think I'm kidding? No. Thanks to the medication, it is under control. I tell you what, I had no idea. Who knows? There was just recently, well, this year, 2018, I was not fully diagnosed, but my doctor, who's not a psychiatrist, my doctor thought that I had some tendencies that may be adult ADHD. Surprise. Which my mother has been saying since day one that I have some kind of a hyperactive attention disorder or whatever it is. And I do blame that for the dumb shit that comes out of my mouth. And also at the same time, I was really struggling with, I was really sick because of being misdiagnosed with a diabetes, right? How do you misdiagnose that? Don't ask. The first doctor, I'm not going to get into it, but I was misdiagnosed. You know, the type 1, type 2, type 1.5, whatever the fuck, you know, it is. Ooh, the first F word. And that's episode 18, 19 is that we're on? Congratulations, Joey. But yeah, she gave me this thing called Vyvanse. You know, Vyvanse, you know, those of you out there that are on Adderall, Vyvanse is like Adderall's, wicked, crazy ass, like, hot mess of a sister, right? The one that's been married four or five times and has like, you know, five or six kids with different dads, and she can't hold a job. And, you know, she's spending all her money on lotto tickets and just getting hammered and ripped up on the weekends, because even though she's had six kids, her body's still like in perfect shape. Right. And she's still hot as hell, but none of the guys at the club know that she's got six kids and like five baby daddies, and, you know, still lives in the basement with her six kids at mom and dad's house, you know, and just spending all her lotto money on just getting into the club, which you can get in free, because of course she used to sleep with the doorman. And that's Vyvanse. That's Adderall's sister, batshit crazy sister. And I've got to tell you, I love it. And she told me, my doctor told me, there's two different types of reactions to Vyvanse, because apparently this stuff is a freaking like meth. I think there's the exact words that she uses. It's meth. It's meth, and it's meth. And you know how appropriate, living in Kansas City, so close to Independence, Missouri, that I would be taking meth. You local people, thank you. Yeah, meth capital, or one of them, right outside Kansas City here. But anyway, she said you're going to react one of two ways. One, you're going to get the shakes. You're going to get, you're not going to be able to talk. You're just going to be, you know, and you're going to know it's not for you. I was like, oh, so like cocaine, apparently that's, she's like, yeah, it's a similar kind of, so I'm going to take a pill that may make me react like I just did a bunch of cocaine, and then I just ride it out. Is that what I do? Is there some kind of other like serum that I can put in me that's going to, you know, like the antidote, that's going to, she's like, no, you're just going to have to figure it out. So I did, I took it. And the other, reaction, she said, let's get down in a second, but I did take it, and I will tell you, ooh, you want to talk about focused, quiet, all those ideas and shit that were bouncing around in my head were just falling out of my mouth, you know, just, you know, it just wasn't happening. And it was, oh man, it was smooth. And I use this analogy to my lady to explain when my meds really kick in. I tell her I'm nacho cheese. If you could just imagine like warm ballpark, you know, nacho cheese, you know, the containers you get, the nachos, where it's like one, the corner's got like a cup in it and the rest of it is like clear plastic, and that's where the chips go. And then you put the warm nacho cheese in there. Just imagine your entire body just full of just warm nacho cheese. Just like, oh, that feeling. That's what it just, when I tell her, sometimes it kicks in really hardcore. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm real nacho cheese right now. And it's really funny because people have known me for years and years and years and years and get around me now that I take this amazing medicine that just calms me the frick down. They think I'm pissed. They think I'm just in a bad mood or depressed. And it's not. It's just that I finally shut the fuck up. That's really what it has come down to, is I really just just shut up. And everything's improved in my life, which is the second part. If you take the pill, what would happen if you actually do have adult ADHD, which is, it does exactly that. It just calms you down. It kills your cravings for food. Like binge eating, not like all together. You don't become like, you know, meth addict where you're not eating it at all and just drinking Mountain Dew. It just mellows you on. And I straight up warm nacho cheese. And I'll tell you, in the mornings, I kind of dance with the devil, because I drink coffee in the morning, which is what I have right now in my reusable Starbucks cup. And when you layer caffeine on top of this, you still get that warm, kind of cool ass feeling inside you. But at the same time, you're just amped up, man. Like, just pumped up. Like right now, I feel really good. It's 7:19 in the morning here on a Friday, right before Father's Day weekend, or we can consider this Father's Day weekend. And I feel good. And I did. I will tell you, before I left for Europe, I did have my doctor up my med a couple more milligrams. I just love that feeling, man. I just love that mellow feeling. And I'll tell you, the people that are around me, they love it too. I say less dumb shit, which may be hard to believe because I do say a lot of dumb shit. Just imagine the dumb shit that I say is only about a quarter or a half of what I used to say. The guys that I work with, the ladies that I work with, have seen a complete difference when it comes to my focus. In my personal life, it's made me, and this is what I've gotten the most, is it's made me nicer, right? I sat on Mother's Day and sat with my mom for like 2 hours and just listened to her and had just a conversation with her. I've never done that in my life because I had so much anxiety and so much like, I gotta go. And everything would irritate me, and everything would take too long. And it just, it was a horrible place to be. And then mix that in with, being misdiagnosed and taking the wrong medications for a disease, which was just ripping me up inside, like physically just making me bad. And it was also, what had happened was, diagnosed with diabetes, I went to the first doctor, just a primary care doctor. He diagnosed me, started just throwing pills at me, man. Just started throwing all these kind of pills on me. It was making me gain weight. I wasn't getting any better. My blood sugar, even though I wasn't eating anything shitty, it just wasn't good. And that went on for about 2 years, and I was just feeling like shit. So I get an endocrinologist, you know, these guys that actually specialize in diabetes, right? And I'm not going to lie. I'll tell you the truth. I have type 2 diabetes because I was a dumb, lazy fat fuck. That's just what it comes down to. It's just a typical Midwesterner guy that stopped working out, started just eating too much shit. And I saw it, and the pre-diabetes came, and I did like any other dude, and I just ignored it and thought, oh, it won't happen to me. And it did. And then, the first doctor kind of, I was sick as shit, man. I felt bad. Always walking, just in a bad mood, just it was affecting me. And then I went and saw an endocrinologist, which is what these guys specialize in. And he goes, hey, you know what? We're going to take a deeper look at your blood, and maybe you've got something else going on with this diabetes. And then he comes back with this riddly rattly. This is why somebody needs to go to the doctor with me when I go to the doctor, because I hear about one of every five words that a doctor says, right? Because I'm so paranoid that I'm going to be told that I'm going to die in 38 minutes, right? For some freaking reason, there's no reason why. I get a blood test and you come back and he's like, listen, I got some good news and some bad news. Bad news is you're going to die in 10 seconds. The good news is, I don't really have a punchline for that. I didn't really work up to that, and I apologize, but I don't really have a punchline. If you got a punchline for that, make sure you go to, Everyone Needs a Little on Facebook. Send me a message. If you have a punchline to that, I'd take it and I'll use it. But anyway, he comes in and he says something to me, something about that I'm insulin dependent, that I'm going to have to take insulin. And I've heard this before because I had a cousin, God rest his soul, Travis, just passed away this year because of complications of diabetes. He's had type 1 diabetes since he was a kid, and he had to take insulin all the time. I watch him take insulin, and it's like you got to regulate your blood sugar. It's really, really fucked up how it works, and it's a really shitty disease. When it comes to maintenance, because it's the weird thing about it is that if you couldn't take care of yourself when you didn't have to take pills or didn't have to take insulin, and that's how you got diabetes in the first place, then how the fuck are you going to be able to manage it you know, you got to step up. And I did. And I really did. He put me on this like synthetic insulin. If you don't know how it works, basically, I'm going to just give you the basics of the basics. When you have diabetes, your body just can't process sugar, right? And the sugar just sits in your body and it really fucks you up. Having sugar just sitting in your body and your bloodstream just can fuck you right in the face, right? And your body usually produces something called insulin that naturally that will, you know, hook up with the sugar and then, you know, go and disperse of it or burn it or whatever it is. The thing is, your body doesn't make that anymore. So that sugar just bounces around inside your system. And the problem is that sugar is like these crystals, you know, they're sharp edged and they go through your bloodstream and they're just tearing shit apart, man. I mean, it can mess up your eyes, messes up your feet, like, you know, neuropathy. And that's why people get their legs chopped off and their feet chopped off. It can affect your ding dong, right? It can mess you up there. It can just mess you up in all different types of way. And what the main place that it was really messing me up is just mentally, right? It was just really got me off my game. It was just messing with me because that shit just sits. Just imagine sugar just floating around in your body and just sitting in certain parts of your body and just ripping apart, you know, your blood vessels and all that kind of just getting behind your eyes and messing up your vision and crazy shit. So this guy's like, you know, this doctor's like, you know, you got to get on this synthetic insulin, right? You got to give yourself a shot after every time you eat because you're going to, you know, carbohydrates, same as sugar, it's going to blow it up and you got to match it. You got to guess on how much you're going to need to pump into your body. And so I was taking shots, you know, 4 or 5 times a day. Little did I know that that was not supposed to be happening, that he misdiagnosed, he's not supposed to be taking that shit. So this goes on for another, 2 years, year and a half of just pumping myself full of this synthetic insulin. If you know anything about synthetic insulin, it's bad shit, man. If you don't need it, you should not be putting it in your body. You should not, because my life for that year and a half completely started falling apart. Just completely started falling apart. Physically, it makes you pack on weight. You can't get the weight off. I don't know the scientific reasons why, but you can't. You start getting chubbier because no idea. I could look it up. I guess I could Google it. But you just can't. If you can't get the weight off, I think it's absolutely next to impossible. So here I am blowing up like fucking Veruca Salt. Is that the right one from Willy Wonka, the original with Gene Hackman? Not the Johnny Depp one, but the one that blows up. Violet, that was her name. Violet Baumgartner. Blew up like a fucking blueberry. That was me. And I started blowing up and I was starting to gain weight and I was gaining a lot of weight. And up until, you know, made some changes, I was nearly, I'd gained nearly 90 pounds, 90 fucking pounds. Meanwhile, so that's the physical side. Meanwhile, it's messing with me mentally. So it's making me an absolute prick mentally. I mean, it's seriously just getting to me and I'm not noticing it. Because I think this is what is supposed to be happening because I have this disease and this is what I have to take. This guy's an endocrinologist, man. This, if anybody knows, it's going to be this guy. This is what he specializes in. He's not like a family doctor where he's got like 1,700 different things that he's got to know about. This is what he fucking looks at and this is what he handles. But apparently, according to my third doctor, love her to death, she pretty much, and I like this about her. And if you're in the Kansas City area and you're struggling with diabetes or any kind of, you want to look into a different doctor, I go to her, she's downtown and, she looks at me and she says, you're an endocrinologist. And I said, yeah. And she goes, why would you go to an endocrinologist? And I said, because I was sick. And she goes, well, usually people with horrible diabetes, you know, like really, really, really bad, only go to endocrinologists. Like, I didn't know what else to do. And she's like, well, I got to tell you something right now. Your endocrinologist is a fucking moron. I was like, oh my goodness, I love you already. What's going on? She explains to me, I don't need the synthetic insulin. I just need, I need to try this. So she also, you know, reassessed. She's the one who gave me the Vyvanse, give me, you know, the brain to start working again in a right way. So now you got two things going on. I'm getting the insulin out of my body. I'm taking the right medication, I'm taking one shot a day now. It's the same shit that Paula Deen did. That whole Paula Deen thing about diabetes. Can we, I'm going to pause here and just bring this up. This is some gangster shit right here. All right. So Paula Deen, and I'm paraphrasing. Okay. And I may not be 100% correct, but Jesus Christ, I'm not a news guy. I'm not here for you to get your daily news. In fact, you know, everything that I tell you might be like 70% true as I swing on some coffee. Excuse me. It's tough doing this show by yourself. Because you need to take a break like that. It just goes silent. Anyway, Paula Deen and her gangster shit. Paula Deen, years and years and years and years ago, not too long ago, I'd say maybe 8 years ago, 7 years ago. See, if you guys don't know who Paula Deen is, she's this this chef. This is before the racism stuff that really kicked her in the ass. This is before all this. Paula Deen was this, you know, this middle-aged lady. Hey, y'all, it's Paula Deen. And she was a chef, and she was an amazing cook, and she really focused on Southern cooking. And very much like Rachel Ray or Bobby Flay, like when that whole big thing was going on. Well, I'm sure you know who Paula Deen is. If you don't know who Paula Deen is, you really need to take a look at your life, or maybe I need to look at mine. I'm the only one who knows who she is. And Paula Deen is teaching, and her Southern cooking has a lot of carbohydrates. And she's known back in the day for butter, right? Everything is just shit ton of butter just goes into everything she's making. Like Paula Deen's peach cobbler, right? And it only takes just 6 sticks of butter. That's what she did. So she's got these shows on the Food Network or whatever it is. And she's got this line of stuff like kitchen stuff. She's making a shit ton of money. And she's got a cult following. And I loved Paula Deen so much that I used to refer to my mom. I used to tell people my mom was like the Midwestern Paula Deen, but with a little bit more attitude, like how Paula Deen would be off camera. Little did I know later that Paula Deen had some racist tendencies, which my mother does not. If she does, I've never seen that. So good job hiding that, Mom. But Paula Deen doing all this cooking with butter, doing all this cooking with carbohydrates. She used to get made fun of quite a bit because of the calorie count of what she would make and how bad it would be for you. So Paula Deen, behind the scenes, gets diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Surprise, surprise, right? But she doesn't tell anybody except for her closest family. But Paula Deen continues to cook the way that she's cooking, even though she's been diagnosed with diabetes, right? But she decides on her end, she can't change the who she is on television. She can't change that person because that would drastically cut into her the money she's making, right? Nobody wants to watch Paula Deen make, you know, kale salad. They want to watch Paula Deen make, you know, biscuits and gravy with 6 sticks of butter and how you can make biscuits with straight bacon grease, right? That's what they want to see. So behind the scenes, she gets on this medicine called Victoza, which is the same that I got diagnosed or that they gave me, new doctor gave me. And she's taking Victoza and she's losing some weight and she gets her diabetes under control, but she still continues to cook like a it's unbelievable gangster shit because she doesn't want to lose any money. So she's still kicking out cookbooks. And about a year goes by that she's taking care of her diabetes. Meanwhile, still doing this thing, the food. And then she comes out and she goes, "Hey, y'all, it's Paula Deen. Just wanted y'all to know about a year ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes. And thanks to Victoza, I'm able to keep my diabetes under control." And we're all like, okay, what the fuck? A year ago. So then one of the most gangster dudes, and God rest his soul, he just passed away within the last week. God, he was such an influence on me as a celebrity, reading his books and watching his shows. And just the dude, Anthony Bourdain, man. Holy shit. And it's making me sad just think about it right now. You know, the guy commits suicide. I believe it is what he did when he was in France. But man, the guy was he was a gangster. But Anthony Bourdain comes out at the time and calls Paula Deen out for her shit, right? And it's amazing. And he's like, "You're telling me that you knew you had diabetes, but you continued to cook the way you were cooking and showing everybody that followed you, that looked up to you as this, you know, subject matter expert when it came to cooking, that you were cooking shitty stuff, but yet you were behind the scenes were, you know, getting yourself fixed. And then once you realize you were getting yourself fixed, then you're going to come hawk some diabetes medicine to all those, and you become a paid spokesperson to try to get all those people that you just got diabetes to because of the cooking and how you inspired them to cook this shit." And he called her out on her bullshit, man. And, that's when it started going downhill for Paula Deen. Next thing you know, she's getting accused of some racist stuff that she said years before that. And, how did I get to here? How did I get to talk shit and talking, Paula Deen? I'm telling you what, Anthony Bourdain was a gangster. That guy, if you enjoy reading, I've got to tell you, there's a book called The Nasty Bits, and it's written by Anthony Bourdain. And it is his book where he explains how he started getting to where he is, well, not is today, because he's passed away, but it gives you the background of, you know, him starting from the bottom in P-Town, you know, Provincetown, Massachusetts, up on the very, very tip of the Cape, you know, where Massachusetts has that hook that goes out, like up there, P-Town, about how in living in New York City and all this stuff. Anthony Bourdain, hands down, one of the most articulate writers that matches what I love, like the writing style. And then listening to him on, No Reservations, and then something about Border. I forget the name of it. Forgive me. But the best part about those television shows that I would watch with Anthony Bourdain, and absolutely inspired by Anthony Bourdain, with his sense of adventure when it comes to travel and when it comes to food. Absolutely 100%. And this is not some kind of bullshit thing. You know, people say like, oh, I was so inspired by him. Like, it absolutely inspired by Anthony Bourdain. And it sucks that he's gone. But read The Nasty Bits. That book, what I was saying, these television shows, that he would write the dialogue or the narration to these shows. And the wordsmith was so beautiful. So beautiful. I will miss him. I've never met him. I've tweeted him out a couple times. He never tweeted back. But my life is a tiny bit better because Anthony Bourdain was on this world, right? So give that up. So I'm looking online with these podcasts, and I'm trying to get some ideas, right? Because the way that I usually do it is I come in and I just wing it, right? Whatever's on the top of my head for that morning or the night before, and I'll jot down one or two times. I'll jot down something I want to talk about. But I was thinking, what if I just took Google? And it's different because when I was in broadcasting, I used to plan the show for the next day, right? I would have the topics at least, but not what we were, and it would not be scripted. I was with a good team, except for one person. She just horrible to work with. She had she had to be told exactly what to say. I have no shame in my game saying it. Just horrible, horrible. You want to talk about having four tires and one of them just being flat. And so that hindered. But here, my hindering is I'm here by myself inside this room, right? Inside my office, this room. A beautiful office, too, by the way. And I think to myself, maybe I got to be a little bit more structured. I was reading something about Scott Monty, who used to be the social media director for Ford Motor Company. And he had something out there about, you know, how you're going to have a good podcast. And, you know, it said the number one thing is to have a personality and some kind of, you know, radio kind of exposure. So you're not just sitting here bland on the air and talking about this. You got to have something. And so I think I get a little panache. I think I got a little tiny bit of that. You can tell me by going to everybody. Everyone needs a little.com. And actually, you can go to Everyone Needs a Little on Facebook and message me right now. Ricky, thank you for messaging me. Ricky and I are the ones having conversations. Even though the numbers for the listeners are really, really going up, not a lot of you going to the Facebook, and you should feel absolutely ashamed of yourself for not going there. I don't give a shit. Well, I would. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to get some feedback. This is what, helps the ego, but also helps me know that what I'm doing is not just, making me happy, but hopefully, you know, I'd love to get your feedback. So go to Everyone Needs a Little on Facebook. So I look up to see, because Scott Monty says that's number one. Number two is to be planning, right? You got to plan what you're going to do. What you're going to talk about. You have to have a theme to your podcast. I don't have a fucking theme to this podcast. I have nothing. It's just a middle-aged fucking dude getting on the airwaves or whatever, the recording waves, and just ranting about shit that just pops into his head and then pushing it out online and then says cuss words. Because this is my personal podcast. This has nothing to do with what I do for a living. This is my personal, this is kind of my venting area. There's really no rhyme or reason what I'm doing here. There's nothing, there's no structure. And he says, you got to have structure. So I thought this morning, I just go online and look up ideas for podcast topics, right? that'll be good. That's what I'm going to do. So I did, and I looked it up, and I thought I'd share what they're saying, great podcast topic ideas. This is an article. This is on first page of search results when I Google, and it says 8 great topic ideas to podcast on. And I'm gonna see if these match who I am. And this is from 2012. Holy shit, how are they still on first page? The first page of results of Google. Making a podcast is fun, but putting together topics can be a pain. What can you talk about? Worst yet, what topics will bring listeners to your show? Do you want topics that will keep people interested in your show? After all, we cannot all get President Obama or Justin Bieber on our shows to talk about what's going on. Yep, just went back to 2012. So here's some great ideas, great topics you can podcast on. Here we go. We're going to go through one of these at a time, and I'm going to either give it the thumbs up, the thumbs down. I might even post these on the Facebook page, too, and just see if you guys be even interested at all. Number one, top five lists. Oh, shit. Says I used to do a podcast called Top 5 Tech Things You Should Know. See, to me, this is, and this is 2016, so maybe this is just too old, but that's just so cliche. And so maybe you're into it. I don't know. Maybe you're into listening to a middle-aged fucking dude rant just for no reason, who has an amazing life and just is bothered by shit that just is just not even worth it, right? I have such a great life. I do. And I sit here and rant and rave about just bullshit. That doesn't really affect. Like, number two, you should do item one versus item two, such as Mac versus PC, Android versus iPhone, McDonald's versus Burger King. How about no versus, nah, I don't think so. I like that one. This show brings out the positive and negative of two items. Make sure you give all the points, good and bad. So I'm going to have a debate. Oh, is this with people on the show with you? Because that would make sense. If I were to sit here and debate myself, I don't know if I can do that, because I'm going to take one side and I'm going to like a Mac versus PC. You know, I think Mac is the greatest computer that's ever been made. The laptops are blown. And then when I do the PC side, I'd be like, you know what? You're absolutely fucking right. Fuck PCs. They suck. They absolutely suck. Unless you're coding or doing something else, go with the Mac. You win. Debate over, podcast done, right? That wouldn't work out. Number three, make a title that brings out your true feelings that could drive traffic. If you buy a watch and it doesn't work right, don't go on the podcast and talk about what is good about the watch. Call it out. Make the title and your feelings, not just this watch sucks, but something like, I talk about this watch and which was extremely disappointed about. Huh. Is that what we're doing? All right, then I'll do this. A title that brings out your true feelings that could drive traffic. Fuck Delta Airlines and fuck Grubhub. Just going to say that right now. I'm just going to leave it right now. And if you want to know why I'm saying that, send me a message at Everyone Needs a Little on Facebook. All right, number three, knock that one out. We may be able to hit all these in one day. Number four, a great way to get more listeners to interview someone who has more listeners. If they promote your podcast, you can bring traffic from their show. I jump on the chance to join somebody else's podcast. On the same token, I will get someone to join me on a show. You will be surprised at how many jump to the chance to do an interview. First, no. I don't even know anybody that does a podcast, a personal podcast. The only ones I know that they do professional podcasts. When I say professional podcasts, they talk about their professional life, things in their profession. They're like a subject matter expert for like digital marketing or other things. And that's what they talk about. I don't know anybody that has a personal podcast, except for Chris. I do like Chris. Maybe I'll reach out to Chris. Chris has a podcast he does for movies. The problem with me doing a podcast or even joining somebody on a movie podcast is that if I didn't like the movie, I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I'm just like, it's a shitty movie. I don't, well, why do you think it's a shitty movie? I don't know. I just thought it was a shitty movie. I mean, I said, oh, because Ewan McGregor, he's usually in a place where he can do a lot better acting. In this case, he was in a different kind of, like, I don't do that. It's just like, it was a shitty movie. It's a shitty ass movie. But the problem is I don't find very many movies shitty. And unless I find it extreme, I don't have a lot of feedback to give on movies because I don't want to sound like a dumbass if I get something wrong, especially arguing with the Star Wars assholes. You know, you Star Wars assholes, you guys that are my age, right? Here's the deal. We all grew up with Star Wars. We all did. 1977 Star Wars, right? If I'm wrong about that, it's because I'm normal. It's because I should know about when it came out, not the exact day it came out. And I love Star Wars. I was 6 years old playing with Star Wars figurines, man. My Luke Skywalker, my Darth Vader, my R2, D2, right? And then Return of the Jedi, or I'm sorry, Empire Strikes Back, and then Return of the Jedi, and then the shitty movies that came out during the 2000s. Here's what's happened. You fucking guys that are my age that are watching these new Star Wars movies coming out, and you're critiquing the shit out of them. Here's the deal. Back the fuck off, man. They were built for us as kids, man. And they're still built for us as kids. But now we're just cynical old men that are going to pick apart. Like, oh, that's not what she should be wearing because she's from the Andromeda Mall. Like, here's the deal. Just enjoy the fucking show. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. These are great time. Maybe I should write these down. Just knock them out all in one. But I'm telling you, you Star Wars freaks out there that get into the weeds on the Star Wars things, you're dicks. You are dicks. Shut up. just shut up about it. And here I am bitching about it. So yeah, I am, I am a hypocrite. Number five, contest, win a nice prize. Win a nice prize. You might not want to give away $100, but people want to win $100. Well, listen to your show. The only problem is they won't listen for 5, 10, or 20. You could state win $100 and outline 5 winners to get $20 for the next 5 shows. No, I'm not going to pay people to listen to the podcast. Right. And Michael, if you're still listening, man, I'm not going to charge you to sponsor the show. I was just full of shit, but I will give you a shout out. He's got a great DJ business here in Kansas City. He's got some weddings he wants to get into. I'll give you a shout out to all 24 people that listen to the show. All right. I will get that. We'll get some information from you. I'll write you back here this morning. Number six, kittens are cute. Puppies are also. Podcast called 10 of the Cutest Kitten Pictures Could Bring Kitten Lovers Abroad. Of course, it doesn't have to be kittens. There's other cute factors out there. Jesus, tits. Oh, man. 10 ways. 10 ways. 10 reasons that keep me from walking into traffic. It's next on the podcast. Number seven, the unknown factor. If you watch the news, you see them dangle the unknown factor in your face daily. At 10 o'clock, they give you the rest. Maybe it's a clip. Maybe it's misleading. In fact, if you're podcasting on Charlie Sheen, you could title it How Tiger Blood Got in Trouble Again. Holy shit, this is 2012. That's called a tease. That's a radio thing. Sure, but I think this is dumb. I think that's dumb. I think teases on podcasts, I mean, yeah, it's called clickbait nowadays to get you to listen. And then finally, number eight, Leo Laporte does this all day. Who's Leo Laporte? Who the fuck is Leo Laporte? L-A-P-O-R-T-E. Let's just Google him real quick. I got a little bit of time before we go. Leo Laporte, is that some kind of like major podcaster? Is he like the... Leo Laporte is the host of the Tech Guy Weekly radio show and host on TWIT.TV, an internet podcast network. He is. He's apparently the Michael Jordan of podcasting, or the LeBron James of podcasting. Oh, I lost it. There it is. So Leo Laporte, number eight, says, does this all the time. If you're live streaming, you have people watching, ask them to title it. They may give you a gem that you would have never thought of. All right. So going to Google and clicking that in and clicking on an article from 2012. Just wasted my time and wasted your time. So who knows? But I will do that next one. If you guys, for the next podcast, you made it all the way through, I'm going to tell you, if you send me a message on Everyone Needs a Little Facebook, you send me a message and you give me the title for the next podcast, I'll make it that title, right? If there's multiple people that message me, I'll do the next, your title is going to be used. And don't worry, unless you're Ricky, you're not messaging me. Nobody else is messaging me but Ricky, but I love Ricky, man. Ricky, give me a title, bro, and I'll title it. Doesn't mean that the content's going to have to do with the title, but at least you get to title the podcast. So anyway, thanks for listening to the show. Yeah, why don't we pop in real quick and look at, which by the way, we are on YouTube, we are on iTunes, and we are now on Google Play, which is really awesome. Let's look at a trending hashtag for today. Oh, today's National Flip-Flop Day. All right. Holy shit. Well, fuck. That's it. National Flip-Flop. That's the one I pick. That's the one you pick. Great. I'm going to continue to have 24 listeners for the next year and a half. For the next week. And then it's going to start dipping off again. So, yep. These podcasts are just for me. All right. The Vivance is kicking in. I got to get out of here. Get ready for a good day at work. You guys have a great day also. Have a great Father's Day. If you're listening to this in the future, this is the Friday before Father's Day. I'm not fucking crazy and just picking, just telling people have a good Father's Day just randomly in the year. So have a great day. Keep smiling. All right.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.